Help! Come now! I'm in trouble! No, that's not right. I have to do the last word again. I rub it out. I'm working on my spelling. Mr. Wing says it's way better than when I came to Creekside last summer. But I'm still pretty bad. Trouble. I think about what else I should write. I only have a small sheet of paper, and there isn't room for much. The pencil is a stub. I hold it in my thumb and two fingers. The room is cold, and my breath makes puffy little clouds when I breathe out. Be careful. Bad guys with guns. Now I need to write where I am, or how will they find me? Newman. That's the most important thing. The name on the mailbox. I saw it when I got here. I was feeling sick from the long drive in the dark, and when the guys in the masks pulled me out of the trunk of the car, I fell down on my hands and knees and started throwing up. The mask guys jumped out of the way and went, "Ew!" When I finished throwing up, I felt better. I took deep breaths and wiped away my sweat. And that's when I saw the mailbox at the end of the drive. It was night and the car lights were shining on it, and there was the name in bright red letters on the gray metal of the mailbox. Newman. I want help to come to the right place. I stand up on my bed and stare out my little window. There's snow piled up against the bottom of the window because I am in the basement, and there's bars running up and down the window like jail bars. I write down what I can see through the window, past the bars and the piled up snow. Wood fence, white barn, thing that goes round. You know those things. They point where the wind blows. This one is shaped like an arrow with a sun on top. Road with 40 sign. That's the speed limit. The sign is past the fence, down the road from the house. Not a lot of cars go by, but when they do, that's how fast they go. 40. I get down from my bed and read over my note. There's nothing else to put in. Pine trees and clouds and snow is the only other stuff I can see, and that won't help anybody find me. There's a bit of room at the bottom of the paper, so I print my name. Bunny O'Toole. That's me. It's a pretty good note. Anyone reading it will know there's a guy named Bunny who needs help. They will look for a farm with a white barn belonging to Newman. If they are police, they will come. And if they are not police, they will go to the police. I put the note in my pocket and wait for Vi. She is the nice one of the bad guys. There are three others, or maybe more. It's hard to say how many there are, because they all look the same when they wear masks. Vi doesn't wear a mask. Also, she doesn't yell at me or push me around. That's how I know she's nice. She told me her name and said she wanted to help me. What we are doing is wrong, she said. Wrong. Our cause is right, but this is wrong. Kidnapping is wrong. Is that what you were doing? I asked. Kidnapping? Yes, she said. And who are you kidnapping? You, she said. Oh, right, I said. That was this morning. Last night I didn't see her. I only saw the guys who took me out of the car. Two of them. Pretty big guys with parkas and gloves and those ski masks with holes for the eyes. They dragged me out of the trunk and into the house and took off my skates, which I still had on from skating at City Hall with my brother Spencer. The skate laces got into a knot and one of the guys had to take off his gloves to undo them. He had white hands with dirty nails. The two guys dragged me down the hall and then pushed me down the stairs. I was still feeling pretty bad. My head hurt, and my legs didn't work right. You know when your foot is asleep and you can't stand up? Like that, only both feet. I fell all the way down the stairs and lay at the bottom. The guys rumbled down after me and threw me into the room. I didn't know what was going on. That's normal for me. But this time, I didn't have any idea at all. I mean nothing. I shivered all night long. In the morning, another guy came to see me, so there were three guys in my room. The new guy was bigger than the other two, and fat, and his ski mask was red. They watched him. He didn't watch them. He was the boss. I thought about standing up, but I was feeling creaky. Also, I thought that if I stood up, the boss guy would knock me down, and if I stayed sitting, then he wouldn't. And if he knocked me over when I was sitting down, then I wouldn't fall as far. Anyway, I stayed down. He stood in front of me and asked questions about Mr. Clean. At least, that's what I thought he said. Who? I asked. I wasn't sure I heard right. He talked English okay, but with an accent. He missed some words, and he said other ones kind of funny. The guy on TV? I said. The bald guy?
I am not knowing if he is on TV, said the boss.
He waved his hands around when he talked.
His voice made me want to clear my throat.
He wanted to know where he kept things. Mr. Clean? I said again to make sure. It really didn't make sense.
Yes, Mr. Clean, he said. Where would Mr. Clean keep things?
He pounded one hand into the other like it was a baseball glove. He turned and said something to the other two guys.
Yes, yes, they said, nodding. Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
They were all talking together. It was cold in the basement. We wore parkas, and our breaths made clouds. I tried to remember the last time I saw Mr. Clean on TV. He was bent over, and he was rubbing a stove and making it shine. The woman with him was smiling. It was all pretty lame. He's got a bucket, I said. He keeps stuff in there, sponges and cleaning stuff. They weren't interested in Mr. Clean's bucket.
Somewhere else, said the boss. Where does he keep papers?
I felt dumb,
which I am used to.
I wished Spencer was there to explain what they wanted. He's smart and good at explaining. He explained what was going on at the cottage when we found the pictures and stuff. I didn't know why DJ was so excited until Spencer explained it to me. I did my best here.
Mr. Clean doesn't have any papers, I said. Except maybe a coupon.
Do you mean a coupon? Buy one and get one free? I think he has those.
What papers do you want?
And then he said, the boss guy said it, and the others nodded their heads like they were saying, uh-huh. He said, the anthem, with capital letters like that. Like it was important, and I should know it. Like it meant something.
The anthem.
I nodded. I know what the anthem is.
Oh, Canada, I said.
'Cause that is our anthem. We had to learn the words in French and English in grade 4. I remember some of them.
Carton brass, aton a something. Il sait porter la croix.
Or something. Pretty cool. Something about a cross, which is not the same as in English. In English, we stand on guard a lot.
Okay, I said. Mr. Clean has the anthem, and you want to know where he would keep it, right?
When you put it like that, it sounds dumb, eh? It sounded dumb when I said it, but the boss guy nodded his red mask and said,
yes, yes, yes,
and the other two guys nodded their black masks. And then the door opened, and Vi came in. This was the first time I saw her. She didn't have a mask, and she said my name.
Hi, Bunny, she said. I'm Vi.
Hi, I said. I stood up. It seemed like the right thing to do.
So there we all were, standing up in the basement. It could have been a party, but there was no snacks, and we all had our coats on.
I was hungry, and I wanted to go to the bathroom. No, wait. I wanted to go to the bathroom first. Vi was tough, but pretty. You know, like she would fight you and look good doing it. Her parka was fluffy.
How's our hostage? She asked me.
What?
That's what you are, Bunny, she said.
Oh, I said.
I didn't know what a hostage was then. I do now.
Vi was the first one who called me by name. Later, they all did, but she was the first. And she talked normal. Like me, I mean. Or Spencer, or DJ, or the Creekside guys.
She didn't have an accent, is what I am saying.
Has Bunny told us anything? Vi asked. Has he helped us?
He's going to help us now, said the big boss guy with the red mask. He is going to tell us, where is the anthem? Aren't you, Bunny?
He said my name a bit different from her. Vi said Bunny, like I do. He was more like, Bunny.
That is what we want, said Vi. Where would your grandpa keep the anthem?
What? I said. Is this about grandpa?
My grandpa?
Of course, she said. Your grandpa has our anthem, and we want it back.
Oh, I said. David McLean is your grandpa, right? She said.
Not anymore, I said. He died.
But he was my grandpa, and that was his name.
The guys in the black masks were nodding and saying, McLean, McLean.
I got it now. They weren't asking about Mr. Clean. They didn't care about him or his bucket. I explained the mistake to the boss guy, mixing up Mr. Clean and Grandpa.
I didn't understand you, I said.
He got mad and pushed me. My legs were still feeling numb, and I fell down hard and hurt my shoulder.
Careful, said Vi.
You are stupid, he shouted at me.
I know. I should not have stood up, I said.